You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
To go on with our investigation into issues regarding housing and housing policy, this week I looked into public housing. Towards the end of last week, it was reported that the waitlist for public housing is up 50% on this time last year, with 18,000 people registered as seeking social housing right now. When the coalition government came into power, there were just over 6,000 applicants on the social housing waitlist, so there has been a considerable increase over the last 3 years. The number of people that are eventually housed was also down 36% to 1,115 in the 3 months to June. The average time it took to house these people was 237 days, 20 days longer than last quarter. The National Party has reportedly slammed the coalition government for failing to deliver housing under the Kiwi Build scheme. The Greens have recently pledged to ramp up the construction of houses with their Homes for All campaign policy, which aims to provide all 18,000 people on the public housing waitlist now into social housing in the next 5 years. I spoke to Ronje Taneleo, who is a lawyer and principal policy advisor for the Salvation Army, about the increase in public housing in the public housing waitlist. We talk about what promises the current government made in terms of public housing and whether they've been met, and what the Salvation Army hopes to see the new government do to combat New Zealand's lack of social housing. Here that is. Currently, the waitlist for public housing is up 50% on the same time last year. Why is this?
Look, the reality is there's just not enough houses for people to go into. We're not surprised by these numbers. I mean, when this government came in, there was about 6,000 people on the waiting list, and it sort of jumped to 18,000. That's not just this government's fault, but basically there's just more housing need, more housing stress, and not enough houses to house people.
Do you think it's a particular timing thing that's caused that jump, or is it to do with not enough houses being built fast enough with Kiwi Build, or is it just sort of an amalgamation of various things?
Yeah, I think it's all of the reasons that you mentioned. These numbers have been trending up for the last 3 to 5 years, so that isn't just a brand new change. COVID hasn't helped, obviously, and so government did, I think, a great job in trying to house people during the level 4 and 3 lockdown, which was admirable. But at the same time, having a strategy that's built around motels and hotels is not the best long-term strategy for whānau, especially whānau going through some really tough times. So it's a whole bunch of reasons, Jemima. But I think one of the key ones is that this housing stress is more visible now. So I think that's a good thing, to show that people are actually saying, look, we are sleeping in a car, we're sleeping in a cow shed, we need some help. And that's a good thing. It's not hidden maybe as previous years or generations, it's actually more visible.
And why do you think it is more visible? Is it that people have the confidence to come out and say they need help?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think it's also that there's more community service providers and NGOs and Christian groups working out there in the community, engaging frontline, seeing the need, encouraging people to not be whakamā, to not be ashamed about some of this stuff, and to also let them know that there is help. And I think that's, I guess for us as a Salvation Army, we're really blessed that people have the confidence to come out and ask for help. There's still hidden homelessness, but at the same time, that's one of the major reasons why there's been such a spike in these numbers.
What option do people on the waitlist have? Where are people on the waitlist living?
Yeah, there's a couple of options that I think this government and the previous government have tried to build because they could see that there was more people that are jumping on the register. And so you've obviously, there's a strategy around hotels and motels, and that's where a lot of our clients, a lot of our whānau are going to. We house people ourselves. There's other social housing providers that are non-government organizations like the Salvation Army and the Methodist Mission and others that are housing people, which is wonderful. And there's also a transitional housing program as well that government has. And so that's usually a 12-week stay, and they come in through organizations like us. They're on the register, but they're temporarily housed with us, and then the idea is to transition them to a long-term sustainable house. So there are some options, probably not the best options at scale and not the best options long-term, but there are some decent options out there for families on the register.
I wanted to talk a little bit about long-term living in emergency housing. How realistic is it to be living in emergency housing situations such as a motel long-term? Are motels willing and able to take on people on the wait list for public housing, or is there always sort of a time limit for how long people can stay?
Look, there's some, I mean, government's bought some motels right out, so there's, so they own these, they're working with the motel sector, so there's an engagement there. So to answer your question about whether they're willing, they are being paid for it. So when you're paid for something, then you're very willing to engage in that process. So there's definitely a desire from the motels to have this business, really. And I think the Salvation has always challenged that as a business model, to be paying millions of dollars into motels to temporarily house people. And so we've always thought that that's not the best strategy, but it's the most rushed strategy to try and plug the gaps. But we really believe that with the transitional housing 12-week stay program, that's a really good way forward. But again, Jemima, it's not the best long-term strategy. You know, I mean, at this stage, it takes about 237 days on average to house someone on the register. So if that person is spending 237 days in a motel or a transitional house or homeless, then that's not the best outcome for them. So it's not just, there needs to be an intermediary, you know, fill the gap option, but there definitely needs to be something that we push them to that is long-term, sustainable, warm, affordable, and so on. So look, motels love the business, government's paying it, but it's not the best long-term strategy.
What, in your opinion, is the best long-term strategy? What should, say, a new government after this election be doing to make long-term change?
Look, housing is probably one of the most complex social issues, maybe the most complex social issue that we're dealing with in the country. Salvation Army has always advocated for two direct, what we believe is pretty straightforward points. Firstly, we need more houses. That sounds a bit silly, but that's really what it is. We just don't have enough public houses or social houses out there. So we need to be building more. We need to be building the right types of houses for the people on the register. I mean, I don't know if you've looked at the numbers, but there's been an increase of younger people that are jumping on the register now. So those aged 24 and under. So which shows that it isn't just the middle-aged or elderly issue, there are more people jumping on who are 24 and under. So we need to be building more houses that are fit for purpose. And the second thing we've constantly pushed for is that the government needs to work more with the community housing sector. We are a sector that knows how to work with whānau in these spaces. We have been doing this for over 130 years, so we have some experience in this. And so if the government was willing to partner more with the community housing sector, that would be, a huge win to deal with some of the issues that for people that are on the register. Complex issues, complex answers, but that's what we've pushed for, more houses and work more with the community housing sector.
Now, you've said this is a complex issue, and I understand that, but because it is a complex issue, do you think that public housing is going to be a priority for political parties campaigning over the next few weeks in this election?
Yeah, well, if it isn't, then it should be, because it's, for us, the housing question is related to pretty much every social issue that comes in through our front doors with the 120,000 people that use our services. So housing should be, it must be a priority in this election. I mean, the Greens released their housing policy, their public housing policy a couple of days ago. Look, I've read through that. I'm not fully convinced on it, but at least